Service Daily Newscast for February 21st, 2020. I'm Mike Clifford. A senior U.S. intelligence official told lawmakers last week that Russia wants to see President Trump reelected. That from the Washington Post, according to people who were briefed on the comments. After learning of that analysis, which was provided to House lawmakers at a classified hearing, Trump erupted at his acting director of national intelligence, Joseph McGuire, in the Oval Office. The Post says Trump saw him and his staff as disloyal for speaking to Congress about Russia's perceived preference. The Post adds Trump announced Wednesday he was replacing McGuire with a vocal loyalist, Richard Grenell, who is currently the U.S. ambassador to Germany. Starting on Monday, immigrants applying for green cards will be subject to the Trump administration's new public charge rule.
Benefits used before February 24th will not count, and the changes do not include the use of WIC or Medi-Cal for children. At Placencia Consulting, immigration advocate Hector Placencia says before this, the feds only considered use of programs like Supplemental Security Income, CalWORKs, and nursing home care under Medi-Cal.
What is being added starting this coming Monday, February 24th, it's going to include CalFresh, housing, Section 8, and public housing, and federally funded Medicaid.
The changes don't affect many immigrants, including those who are U.S. citizens, legal residents, refugees or asylees, DACA or TPS recipients, or those with U visas and T visas, which are for victims of violent crime, trafficking, and domestic violence. The U.S. Supreme Court upheld the new rule, which the Trump administration argues is necessary to make sure that immigrants can support themselves financially. I'm Suzanne Potter.
Folks in California concerned about the public charge rule can get more details on the website keepyourbenefitsca.org. Nebraska lawmakers considering two bills that proponents say would help low-income families and businesses across the state struggling to find workers by expanding access to affordable child care.
Julia Zeb with Voices for Children in Nebraska says parents need to know their children are in a safe environment while they're at work, and with the average cost of child care for an infant at $12,000 a year, she says many working families can't get by without help.
If we allowed more families to be eligible for child care assistance, there would be over 1,500 Nebraska mothers that would enter the workforce, and we would see 3,300 fewer Nebraska children living in poverty.
LB 1049, set to be heard Friday by the Health and Human Services Committee, would expand eligibility for child care assistance. LB 329, which has cleared committee, would allow parents to keep getting assistance as their wages rise up to 200% of the federal poverty level. I'm Eric Galatis.
This is PNS. Civil rights organizations say bills introduced this session in the Missouri legislature, part of a larger scale attack against LGBT individuals.
According to the ACLU, dozens of measures are pending in states across the country that would undermine the rights of people who identify as lesbian, gay, bisexual, or transgender, including 15 bills in Missouri.
Hormone therapy can be life-affirming for trans youth as they make their transition and try to be true to who they are. And getting affirming care greatly decreases the risk of suicide in the LGBT community. But the legislature has tried to take a very pejorative view towards that essential life-affirming care.
Sarah Baker with the ACLU of Missouri cites House Bill 1721 as one example. It would prohibit doctors from administering hormone therapy for transgender youth. Mary Sherman reporting.
A bill that passed unanimously in the West Virginia Senate is being seen by environmental groups as an important step towards reducing fossil fuel use in coal country.
Senate Bill 583 would allow Mountain State power companies to provide solar energy for the first time, according to Jim Coatson with the Sierra Club. But the bill also specifies that no solar farm would reduce the amount of coal-fired electricity produced in the state. Coatson says it's a compromise that at least allows businesses and consumers to choose solar, while calming worries about the struggling coal industry.
There are some concerns about consumers and ratepayer impacts that a more progressive bill might have addressed. Nevertheless, the bill is a step forward because it does give our utilities a chance to start putting some solar-powered electricity into the grid.
The legislation moves on to the House this week. The West Virginia Coal Association opposes it, saying it would put more coal miners out of work. I'm Diane Bernard.
Finally, our Mark Bowen tells us the Bank of North Dakota recently celebrated its 100th anniversary. He tells us the nation's only state-owned bank continues to have impact across the region.
The bank is lauded for its independence from the commercial sector and its ability to benefit people's lives. Outside of student loans, it rarely loans money directly to people or businesses. Instead, it partners with local institutions to leverage the state's deposits in hopes of boosting smaller banks. Rick Clayburg, who heads the North Dakota Bankers Association, says the bank has been able to thrive because of how it's allowed to operate under the state's purview.
You know, they certainly will allow it to take some risks that a general institution couldn't take.
Risk-taking aside, the Bank of North Dakota has had a positive net income every year since 1966. Critics question the bank's connection to agencies in need of resources to take actions like cracking down on protesters.
This story was produced with original reporting from Oscar Perry Abello for Yes Media. I'm Mike Clifford. Thanks for wrapping up your week with Public News Service. We are member and listener supported and online at publicnewsservice.org.